All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It is fire. This isn't just the Free Stretch today. This is the Draft Day Edition. A little bit later on tonight in Dallas. Literally the culmination of, I should say, years of hard work, but certainly the culmination of months and hundreds of thousands of man hours worth of work as the first round of the draft will take place. And this entire draft season, which is pretty much what the time from the Super Bowl ends until today is, I've spent a lot of the time kind of trying to be, I don't want to say too cool for the draft, but just trying to temper everybody a little bit, saying, hey, listen, it's a long way to go. There's lots of other stuff going on. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. Well, you know, today's finally the day. It really is draft day. And despite what some of y'all may think, I love the draft. I really do. I'm excited about tonight. I get a little bit annoyed when it's 3 months out and people are acting like it's the next week. And people stopping me in the street saying, hey, Bobby, what do you think? So, you know, I don't need to do all that in March when March Madness is going on or when the Masters is going on or all these other things. But now it's time, okay? So on today's show, and I may record another one. I almost waited to do the show, figuring why should I let my show go out at, you know, whatever time, 3 p.m. on Thursday, when the draft is 8 p.m. on Thursday, and, you know, a few hours after I release my show, it'll be pretty much dated, because once we have picks coming in, everything I'm saying now ain't gonna mean anything. Nothing anybody has said at all before 8 p.m. on Thursday night will have meant anything. But then I figured, you know what, I want to actually get my draft thoughts in. Just one final, like, let me go on record with you guys and say, here's what I think I would do if I was the Bucks. Here's what I'd be happy if the Bucks did, or if I would not be happy if the Bucks did, on and on and on. And then maybe tomorrow, after this is all said and done, I'll go ahead and do another show, or maybe in a couple days after we get the first couple rounds out of the way. But either way, so here's what's going on tonight. You know, a lot of drama at the top, first of all, and that'll be fun, even though, you know, normally the biggest intrigue is your own team. And as a Bucks fan, I hone in on the Bucks. But tonight, I mean, I'm really truly interested to see how the first few picks go, not just to see what unfolds and what unfolds in front of the Bucks, but just out of just general curiosity. I mean, most times by a few days before the first pick, we don't have much to guess about as far as the top pick or two. Usually, no, the first pick's going to be so-and-so. And in the old days, and I say old days, but, you know, a few years ago, they used to start working on the contract. Like, you'd know, you know, oh, they're already negotiating with so-and-so. The first overall pick will be this guy. He's going to sign for X years, X amount of money. You know, we aren't sure it's going to be Sam Darnold. That's the popular idea, the conventional wisdom. If you go online and like to bet on such things, which is always fun, he'd be the favorite, Sam Darnold from USC. But we don't know that for sure. The Browns have been very close to the vest, haven't told anybody anything. And so that's, I appreciate them doing that, if for no other reason than for entertainment's sake. Of course, you've got the Giants there, the Jets. You got all the you know, the Browns. We always wonder what they're going to do. And, you know, on and on up until the seventh pick with the Buccaneers. So all these different prospects, and anybody who pretends to know things, I mean, to really truly know things at this point, you shouldn't listen to them that much, because nobody knows how any of these guys are going to turn out. And that's why I always don't like when people make definitive statements. I can't make any definitive statement about any of these guys. We don't know what they'll be like in 5 years. So I'll say this much about the Bucks picking seventh. When I look at the Bucks and the opportunity they're going to have a chance to get somebody we've talked about a lot. It's not like we're sitting here thinking about, oh, I want this guy. If he only drops, we'll see. Some guys may get picked in front of them. Some guys may drop. There'll be two or three guys whose names have come up quite a bit in the past few months that will still be there, whether it's Barkley, whether it's Chubb, whether it's Quentin Nelson, whether it's Minka, whether it's Roquan Smith, on and on and on. Denzel Ward, cornerbacks, linebackers, defensive linemen, running back. Those guys out of that group, at least two or three of them will be there when the Bucks pick. I don't know which two or three, but a couple of them will be. So assuming the Bucks don't trade, which I haven't ruled out, by the way, the Bucks could definitely trade down. And I'm one of those guys that never gets too upset about trading down, because I don't personally think there's much difference between the 7th pick or the 10th pick or the 12th pick. If you look historically, I mean, you'd rather pick earlier than not. but you're just as likely to get a guy at such a crapshoot that you might get the same guy at 12 that, or a better guy at 12 than you would have taken at 7. You might have been wrong about Samba. So if the Bucks trade down and get a couple picks extra or another extra pick or something, I'm fine with that. But assuming they pick 7th, here's where it breaks down for me. We'll go player by player. First of all, I've seen Saquon Barkley's name coming up quite a bit. And as good as he is, and if the Bucks picked him, I mean, he would definitely help. I'm not saying he wouldn't help, but when I look at the way the league is going, and when I look at how teams gain yards, when I look at how teams score points, and when I look at who helps teams do those things, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I can't get next to a running back being that guy this high. When you have a chance to get other people who, if you look around the league right now, like, who are the stud running, tell me, like, who's the stud running backs around the league? Like, when you say, hey, who are the guys in the league at running back who you wish you had on your team right now? They, first of all, those names change, it seems like, yearly about who's having it. It's not like there's, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, those are your workhorse guys. There's no set couple of guys that are like the guys at running back. In any given year, it's different people, number one. And number two, whoever those people are, always come from a very, very wide and varied background. From higher pick to mid-range pick to undrafted free agent. Here today, gone tomorrow, good today, not so good tomorrow. We saw it with Doug Martin. I'm not comparing Doug Martin to Saquon Barkley. My point is, I've always felt this way in the modern era. Running backs are just too interchangeable. They're just too unpredictable. And they're just, I don't want to say, you know what they are? They're too random, I guess is the best word I'm looking for. And people think, well, yeah, Bobby, I agree with you. I know that. But Saquon Barkley is different. He's transcendent. He might be. But passing the football is how you gain yards and how you score points in the NFL. Not that Saquon Barkley can't help with that either. But I just, to me, I just can't do it. I wouldn't do it at 7. And if the Bucks do pick Saquon Barkley, I'm not going to go, like, kick my dog or something or tip over a chair. But running back ain't how it goes today. It's like the quote says. There was a quote I saw on Twitter earlier from, like, an old coach or something like that. Not an old coach, but an enlightened coach. And he was saying something like, you know what, we're running the ball for 4 yards a pop just to impose our will, quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes. Or we can throw the ball around and actually score some points, and that is how you score points. And I just feel like a running back there, Saquon Barkley or otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Derwin James, another one. I got too many people, and I'm a Gator. I got too many FSU people. I'm not talking about random people. I'm talking about FSU people who are FSU fans, and you know how FSU fans are. They're like a lot of other fans. Every year, there's a so-and-so guy coming out of FSU. Oh, let's get him. You know, they always want the Bucks to get FSU guys in every round. Oh, yeah, so-and-so out of FSU. That's the guy we ought to take. I got so many FSU friends that are like, yeah, Derwin James, that'd be okay. We could, you know, he's good. We'll do, you know, they're not over the moon. These are the people that watch him week in, week out. Have watched him for a couple years now. And they're just like, yeah, Derwin James, I don't know. They're not down on him. Again, he's a fine player from a physical standpoint. If you just get the measurables, and I think the biggest reason why he's being mentioned as high as he is because of that. You know, he's unbelievable, but I need more impact. And he didn't have, as good as he is, he just didn't seem to have the impact. And people, oh, it's Charles Kelly's fault. He's a terrible DC for FSU, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. But I think we ought to have loftier ideas of what we can do with this pick at this point. Those would be two guys I wouldn't be as excited if we drafted. Now, if it actually happens and we call Saquon Barkley's name, I will be intrigued. I'm curious because I would love to see in this day and age just how good of a running back it would take to actually be that guy that you take him in the top 5 or top 10 or whatever, and he comes in And then he's the guy, and he has a 6-7 year career for you, and he's this an anchor in your backfield, and you know changes the complexion of your offense. I mean, you just don't see that happening anymore with running backs out of the draft, being that guy. For, I mean, the not saying it can never happen again, but I'm saying I'd be intrigued just to see if that could happen again. I would certainly hope for it if we took Barkley. But what I'm thinking with this pick, first of all, I'll give you, and he might not be there. I'm just mentioning guys that could possibly be there. Bradley Chubb. Now, whoa. We already addressed the pass rush issue in the offseason. After we all complained that Jason Light wasn't doing enough, he went out and did a ton. We're set there. We're moving on to another need. That's not how you draft in the top 10 of the first round. You're looking, again, for transcendence. There's that word again. That's what you, it doesn't even matter what position they play. Number one. Number two, you can't have enough pass rushers. So after all the Bucs did, after all the moves they made, after all the shaking and baking they did up front, if they turned around and got another pass rusher tonight, if it seemed like overkill, that'd be just fine. You can't ever have too many of those guys. He's the stud we've all been led to believe he is, because before the Bucs made these moves up front, Chubb was the second coming of Christ, from what I was told. So just because we added a couple of guys in free agency, or made a trade for Jason Pierre-Paul, which is great, by the way, just because we did that is not a good enough reason to start passing on people who, again, just a few weeks ago were the greatest thing, the biggest force of nature ever seen up front to come out in the draft, which is, again, what I've been told about Chubb so many times. And I'm not saying I doubt that. In fact, I don't. He'd be one I'd be very happy if the Bucs picked. I remember it was, what year it was? I have to look it up. I should have looked it up. But whatever year it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the Bucs had their defense humming, just humming, and they were just beating quarterbacks' asses. Like, this is back when the Bucs couldn't score any points, of course, but, you know, they were starting to come into their own before they won the Super Bowl. I have to look up the year. Again, I'm sorry I didn't do that before the And going into the draft, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we're good up front. Don't worry about that. And they took Booger McFarland. And I was like, what? Why would they do that? They got sapped. They got all these guys. We don't need a guy like that. We should be filling other needs. But you know what? He helped. It was another one up for you. You cannot have too many of those guys up front. And especially if Chubb is, you know, what he supposedly is. That'd be just fine. Minkah Fitzpatrick's another one. A little bit of concerns about him because he's so multidimensional. He's so diverse in his abilities that maybe he's good at all things, but not great at one thing. And he, you know, supposedly maybe he's not good enough as just an outside cover corner. And that's where maybe his question marks lie. And you want a guy who's a better cover corner out there in case that's where you need him. Even though he can be moved around, slot, you know, safety, even stand up linebacker, all that stuff. You know, hey, I think he's going to be a player. I'm high on Minkah Fitzpatrick. Just another tool on defense. More tools, figure it out later. If you think Minkah Fitzpatrick would be a successful 5 to 7 year pro, then you shouldn't worry about all the other stuff. That's true for all these guys. I mean, again, only a handful of these guys is going to be that guy in the first round. Out of 32 guys, you know, probably 7 or 8 of those guys will be guys where you're like, wow, great pick. In 5 years, I'm saying. So you're just trying to identify who they are and get them, regardless of where they play. And that leads me to Quentin Nelson. There are no sure things. And nobody knows anything. I mean, you can't ever say definitively, this guy will be this. But from every single thing you hear, and it does happen. I mean, it's not like people are always wrong. Sometimes you just, a guy gets identified before the draft and everyone kind of agrees, yeah, going to be just a long-term stud, all-pro offensive lineman. Nelson seems to be that guy. So how could you ever go wrong with a guy like that? And for as much bitching as we did about the defense last year, the offensive line was atrocious. I mean, they were atrocious. Only on defense, we did do a lot in the offseason. And they did a little bit up front on the offense, too. They made some moves there, too. But everybody, top to bottom, seems to say, oh, yeah, Quentin Nelson. Yeah, I guess because he plays guard, it's not as sexy, but it's like, oh, yeah, he'll be 10 years, Pro Bowls, all that stuff. All right, well, then they draft him. Just, you know, just don't overcomplicate it. Draft it. So out of all the guys, Chubb and Quentin Nelson are the two guys that I'd be the happiest if we took them. And Nelson, I'd probably be the happiest just because, again, as much as I like to think of myself as a riverboat gambler and an aggressive, risk-taking type, in reality, I'm really not. I'm the type of guy that if you said, hey, Bobby, you can lock in, I'll give you $300 right now, you can lock it in. Or I'll give you a 1 in 3 shot at $1,000. But if you hit on the other 2 out of 3, you don't get anything. What are you going to do? You going to go for the big money? No, I'll just take your $300. That'll be cool. I'll be happy. And I'll walk away. I'll walk away happy. And Quentin Nelson could be like that. Like, you're going to be happy. He's going to be worth it. He's going to be of value. He will improve your football team, and he'll be a mainstay for years to come. Don't overthink it, man. So those are my thoughts. And again, he might go before the Bucks pick. Chubb might go before the Bucks pick. Roquan Smith's another one. I've watched him at Georgia as a Gator. Believe me, I've watched him. And if the Bucks took him, totally fine with that. He's a guy I think is going to be a good NFL player. And he's going to be a guy where when you do these draft reviews 5 years from now, you go, oh, yeah, Roquan Smith. Again, I think I favor the guys that are complicating this the least. I think Chubb is uncomplicated. He's good, so take him. I think Nelson is uncomplicated. He's good, so take him. I think Roquan Smith is uncomplicated. He's good, so take him. Any of those guys. And Mink I'd put a little bit below. I think there's complications with Barkley about how effective that position is at this point, or at least how important it is to take that position high with running back. And I think Derwin James has some complications too, has some guessing going on. I feel like they're not guesses with Chubb, or at least they're not as much guesses as anything is in this draft. But I think Chubb, Nelson, Roquan Smith are guys that are like, okay, these guys, just not complicated, just take them. So we'll see, and again, the Bucks could take one of those guys. It could be somebody we haven't even talked about, whether it's Denzel Ward or, you know, there's the corner out of Iowa too, Josh Jackson. There's a bunch of guys. Lots can happen, and that's the drama. That's going to be fun, so I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, tonight, for a lot of you people, I know you've been looking forward to this for a long time. If you want to go out there and really get involved, I drove by earlier because I live right down the street. The Joe Bucks Fan Draft Party is at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry, right across from Britton Plaza, north of Gandy, south of Euclid on Dale Mabry. And I'll tell you what, the big white tent is out there. It's going to be huge. $20 buffet, drinks, wings, the whole thing, all you can eat. I mean, it's going to be really fun if you want to head over there. I've got some friends coming over here to my house, as is our tradition every year for the draft. And I might, after they're out of the house, I might swing over to BW3. Because these are all guys I've got coming over with kids, wives. I don't see them sticking it out till midnight or whenever the first round ends. So once they bail, Daddy might slip across the street a little bit and say hi to the folks. Justin Pulaski, the Joes, Ira, everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a ton of fun if you want to check that out. But wherever you are, and you know, use it as an excuse to get together. That's what I always say. It's fun to get together with friends. It's fun to spend time. If you're like me and you've, you know, gotten a little bit older, I'm in my late 30s now, you started to have kids and all that stuff, it's a lot harder to do those things now than it used to be. But stuff like this, where it's, you know, a weeknight, but it's later, it's after kids are maybe in bed, if guys can get out, you know, it's a good chance to reconnect with your friends who you don't see as often as you used to. Remember in college, you'd see them every day. We'd watch the draft, yeah, but we'd watch everything all the time because we were always in our apartment hanging out or at somebody's house hanging out. That doesn't happen anymore, you know? And it's sad in a way. It's not totally sad because you're supposed to do these things. You're supposed to move on and grow up and, you know, get more stuff going on in your life. But use the draft as an excuse to get together. And think of all the drama. It's not just the players. One of my favorite parts of the draft, it's already happened now. I had planned to say this on the show, like, for days. Sometimes I jot down different ideas of things I want to say on the show. And then this thing already broke before I got a chance to talk about it. I was going to say, hey, how about the drama of, you know, what's this year's version of the gas mask bong with Laramie Tunsil? Or somebody pulling up some guy's tweets from when he was 14 years old about, you know, fondling chicks or racial or homophobic slurs or whatever it is that comes out. You know, there's always somebody finding stuff like that. That's already happened with Josh Allen now, the Wyoming quarterback, who has some pray. I don't want to, like, make light of anything, but he's got some tweets from when he was, again, like 14 or something like that, that have the N-word in a context, like, of, you know, rap lyrics and things like that, which obviously you shouldn't, and when I say you shouldn't, I don't think anybody should, but, you know, especially a white kid, you shouldn't say the N-word ever, even if you're quoting whatever. So those have been dug up, and Josh Allen has apologized and things like that already. You know, all this, everything keeps going faster now. Like, this stuff used to break on draft night. Now it breaks earlier. Yeah, with Mitch Trubisky, it was, you know, I love to kiss, you know, female anatomy part insert here, you know what I'm talking about? And that happened, like, as he got picked. Like, it was kind of in live action. But now, everything just moves faster in the world now. So, that's some drama, though. There'll be more. Just keep an eye on it. Looking forward to that. The Bucks, and this won't be tonight because it's the fourth round, but the whole parrot thing with the parrot delivering the fourth round pick, which I've heard a lot of people making a big deal about that. I mean, I don't understand who cares why that's a big deal. Like, I've heard a bunch of people say, oh my God, it's embarrassing. I can't believe that. This is why the Bucks organization is a clown show. Having a parrot deliver the fourth pick. Give me a break. These are the same people, by the way. They're embarrassed about a parrot delivering a draft pick, which is totally fine. I mean, again, who cares? They got the name written on a card. The parrot can hold the card in its beak. I see no problem. But the same people acting like that's a big deal are the same ones that don't even bat an eye at the Bucks uniforms, which the Bucks take the field in uniforms every week that make their organization lower in stature just by the very idea of them wearing these complete jokes of a uniform. And the same people that don't even care about that think it's a big deal that a parrot's announcing a draft pick. Believe me, this organization looks like a clown show anytime any of its players appear in uniform in public, ever. Until they fix that, you can have a parrot deliver the pick. You can have Captain Fear deliver, I don't care, whatever pirate-themed deal. You know, they take the pirate thing to extremes sometimes. And hey, again, it's fine. You know, have somebody take the Jose Gaspar ship out in the middle of Hillsborough Bay and make them walk the plank with the pick in their teeth and have scuba divers from the TPD dive team go down and retrieve the pick and bring it back up to the surface and hold it up. Do that if you want to. What? I don't care. I mean, maybe not for the first round pick, but for the fourth round pick, fine. And I guarantee you now, you know, usually you get the update on your phone. You watch the first round live, and then after that, you get the update on your phone. Oh, hey, the Bucks took so-and-so in the fourth round. How many of y'all are going to run to the TV now and try and find that fourth round pick live to see this whole parrot thing out of curiosity? Because I am. I want to know. And speaking of, how do you plan to watch the draft tonight? You know, somebody asked me that earlier because the draft's on, I think, every channel now. So they're like, Bob, you going Fox? You going ESPN? You going NFL? I was like, you know, I don't really know. I hadn't thought about that. I'm going to need to see all three of the coverages side by side, and I'll make a decision at the line of scrimmage tonight. When I walk up to the line of scrimmage with a remote in hand, I'll check out all the different coverages for 5-10 minutes each, and, you know, I'll settle on one, or I'll go back and forth. Hopefully they won't stagger their commercials, or hopefully they will stagger their commercials. And so I got somewhere to go. But you know what? We got playoff hockey night too. So if there's a commercial, I'm going right over to that. And how about those Tampa Bay Lightning folks? Todd Wright, Tom Lang, both with Lightning Podcasts here on the Joe Bucks Fan Network. And believe me, it's all the restraint I can do not to talk about the Lightning more than I do on this show. But Saturday afternoon is going to be a lot of fun now. And tonight we got some great games with the NHL second round getting underway. Phenomenal action. If you're not into the hockey playoffs, you have a treat in front of you because you get to experience it for the first time. Do yourself a favor. But anyway, going into tonight, again, I'm excited. I mean, this is a Bucks team that for a long time hasn't given us a lot to be excited about. Then year before last, they flirted with us a little bit and just missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. And we thought bigger things were coming, and then obviously last year was last year. I don't think this team is that far away. In the NFL, no team is ever truly that far away. The Jags are proof of that. But at the end of the day, I think if you just keep stockpiling, even at positions you think you're already strong, like on defense, you can't go wrong. And that's why I think the Bucks, unless it's Quentin Nelson, who I actually probably would favor over any other pick, but if they don't take him, it needs to be defense, not Saquon Barkley. But you know what? I wanted Johnny Manziel a few years ago. Was over the moon for him. So that shows you. And that's every one of y'all has a story like that, not just me. It might not have been Manziel, but every one of y'all, you go back over the years and you tell me the guy you wanted each year. If you're honest with me, you've all got some duds in there. Probably a lot more than one. But anyway, If you want to email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com is the email address. It's all spelled normal. bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Love hearing from you. Find me on Twitter, @bobbygameday. Enjoy tonight, whatever it is. Be safe. If you're drinking, make sure you're not driving. Have fun. And just remember, whoever the Bucks draft is not going to pay your bills tomorrow. Don't get too upset. And don't get too over the moon if it's the guy you wanted, because even if it is, we have no idea how things are going to break in the years to come. But no matter what happens, we stand ready. We will not surrender. I am already fired up for the 2018 Tampa Bay Buccaneers football season, and I'll be even more fired up about 10 hours from now. Be safe. Have fun wherever you are. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. Happy draft, and go Bucks.